Good day, friends. Again, it is our joy and delight to come to you. And we're studying again and continue to study in the book of Exodus. And I think you follow through from Abraham, especially until Israel is under covenant blood. For you remember in chapter 12, God had said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." They were in Egypt, and they were redeemed from judgment. But they were still in Egypt. God doesn't want his people to be in Egypt. God wants them to move on. And so in the 14th chapter, you have where they moved on. If I may just say a few words here, God is going to get power and glory and honor because of what he will do with Israel and what he will do with the Egyptians. And when it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, in verse 5 we read, and he asked the question, "Why have we done this to let Israel go from serving us?" And he made his chariots and got his men ready and pursued Israel. And you remember, God would not allow them to go through the land of the Philistines, for when they saw war, they'd repent and come back. So he led them into a trap. And I read in verse 10 that when Pharaoh drew nigh with his whole battalion of soldiers and chariots, and when the people of Israel saw the Egyptians coming, they were scared stiff. And then they said to Moses, verse 11, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore have you dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians'? Been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." You know, it's an amazing thing. We see here the unbelief of the people of Israel. How quickly they turned. Here you read of how them worshiping God and thanking God for deliverance. God had said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." They were ready for the journey, and God led them into a trap. They had the Red Sea ahead of them, had the mountains on each side of them, and here come the Egyptians. And the moment they saw the Egyptians, they forgot God. It's so easy for us to forget God when we have our eyes on circumstances. You know, God's presence in the trial is far much better than exemption from the trial. You know, sometimes we Christians want the Lord to deliver us from the tests or the circumstances in which we find ourselves. Let me again repeat my statement. I want you to get this truth in your mind. God's presence in the trial is by far much better than exemption from the trial. Take, for example, in Daniel chapter 3. Do you remember the three Hebrew children were cast into the fire? And when Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Who is your God can deliver you out of my hands?" And they said, "Know this, O king, our God is able to deliver us. But if he doesn't deliver us, we're not going to fall down and worship your image. We're not going to become idolaters. We'd rather die in touch with God than live worshiping idols." And may I remind you that anything that captivates your heart's affections and devotions, where Christ is not the center, that thing can become your idol. There are a great many men today in America who have made money their idols. They'll sacrifice anything for money, others for pleasure, whatever it may be. That's why when you come to the 5th chapter of 1 John, the very last word written in the Bible was, "My little children, keep yourselves from idols." You ever think about it? The very first message in the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You're faced immediately with God in the very first verse of the Bible. And the last verse written in the Bible, according to time, is 1 John 5:21. "My little children, keep yourselves from idols." Now let's go back to these three Hebrew children. They were cast into the fire. But God was with them in the fire. And Nebuchadnezzar said, "Did we not cast in three men? And do we not see the fourth one who is like unto the Son of God?" Nebuchadnezzar would never have known of the living God if it hadn't been for the faithfulness of these three men who were thrown into the fire. In the test, God was with them in the test. And I must say again, our faith must be purified, and faith is purified by testing. And my friend, the fire never destroys faith. Faith is indestructible. It purifies faith. And the Lord knows just how much you can stand. As 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation overtaken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tested beyond that which you're able, but will with the temptation open a way of escape. So I say here in this passage in chapter 14, God led them into a trap. And you know, it is when God has brought his people into the greatest difficulties or circumstances that he displays his power and his grace. Why didn't God lead them to the Red Sea before the Egyptians had come near them? You see, that's the human reasoning. If he's their God, and here are the Egyptians coming behind, why in the world didn't he send them through the Red Sea before the Egyptians got near them? Huh? That's what we would say. Oh, no, God is still on the throne. He's still working all things out after the counsel of his own name. God wants honor and glory to his name. And he may use you, he may use me as the instruments, not only for the purification of faith, but he might use you in your circumstances for the glory of God. And may I add a further word? For the instruction of angels concerning the power and grace of God. Angels know nothing of the grace of God. They never had the opportunity to know the grace of God, except as they see it demonstrated in God's people. Instead of cursing God, we bless God. You see, God needs us. But sometimes we murmur. Yes, murmuring against God because of our circumstances is a sign of our unbelief in the living God. They had had a display of God's power in Egypt, and now they're filled with unbelief. Oh, how easy it is for us to murmur against the Lord. And I'll tell you, my friend, when our difficulties come between the Lord and us, we ever manifest unbelief. You've got to keep your eyes on him, just like you have in Luke 19 on the Mount of Transfiguration, Luke chapter 9, pardon me. You remember where they saw no man save Jesus only. Peter wasn't looking at John, and John wasn't looking at James. They saw no man save Jesus only. And the greater the difficulty, the more room there is for him to manifest himself as the God of all grace. Now let's face the tests with God before us. Maybe I'm talking to some today who are going through some real, real tests. But I tell you very frankly, God never leaves you for a moment. He knows how far to test you. He knows what he's going to receive through the test. And he knows of the blessing you will receive through the test. Now, this is not theory. This is not theory. Why someone says you're teaching theology. No, no, I'm just dealing facts with life. A life with God. And how many Christians have told me they would be willing to go through their suffering all over again if they thought they would have the same experience that they had with God when they went through the last one. The presence of God. And sometimes God's people never realize the presence of God until they go through some test or some trials. Now listen, let's go back to Exodus chapter 14. Now they murmured, let us alone. We'd better for us to die in Egypt with our bellies full than die out in this wilderness. Verse 13. And 13 through 20, we have God undertaking for them. And Moses said unto the people, do not fear. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you. You shall hold your peace. My, what an encouragement. What an encouragement. Fear not ye, but stand still. But that's the trouble, you know. That's just the trouble. We don't like to stand still. And you know, my friend, we cannot do anything until we stand still. God wants us to know that this salvation that he gives to us is his salvation. He indeed is our salvation. And we stand still in trust, in perfect trust of him. And he does the rest. And this salvation which he gives to us is entirely outside of ourselves. It's complete. Stand still and see the salvation of God. Wonderful thing. I'm thinking of Titus chapter 2, verse 11. The grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching and admonishing one another. You remember, where God begins to teach us how to walk before him, and then gives us a blessed hope. As you have in Titus 2, 11 to 14. His salvation is perfect. But having come to the Savior, then he wants us to walk with him, holily, unblameably, and so on. And then looking for that blessed hope and the appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who ransomed us, who redeemed us out of all iniquity, and so on. I want you to get this. It's hard for us, I say, to stand still. You know, I think most of us are guilty of this. We think if we have some small tests in our lives, well, we can handle the small tests. Or we've had some experience and we can handle the small tests. And let God handle the big ones. Huh? Oh, no. Oh, no. The trouble is, we're going to take care of our small tests and let God take care of the big tests. And you know what happens in our experience? We fail God in the small tests and we're victorious in the large tests. God wants us to trust him in every test. In every test. The big ones? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We've got to trust God for those big ones. But what for these daily tests we have? Doesn't God expect us to use our heads? Yes, he's given us heads to use. No question about that. There's some things, for example, I know I can't do. Some things I know I can't eat. And if I eat them, I pay for them. But what I'm talking about is testings. How easy it is for us to go our own way. We can handle our own affairs. This is human nature. See? I got a great big longshoreman who came in to see me. And he was meeting me at a certain time, and he came in about 20 minutes late. And I said, I guess you've been going around the block, haven't you? He said, I sure have. And you've been saying to yourself, why should I go and see a preacher? Why should I go and see a Bible teacher? I can handle my own affairs. I said, isn't that right? He said, that's perfectly correct. That's exactly what I was saying, what I was thinking. And I said, if you could have handled your own affairs, you wouldn't be in to see me. And he kind of smiled and laughed about it. Oh, no, we can handle our own affairs. Yes, and we land in the ditch. We just land in the ditch. I tell you, my friend, you just can't play fast and loose with the things of God. Unsaved people, you can stand, shall I say, and go your own way. Handle your own affairs. Handle your own life. I don't need God. Yes, and one of these days you're going to stand before God. You got to give an account. No question about that. The books are going to be opened. And you're going to be judged according to what's written in the books. And God's a good bookkeeper. Believe me, God's a good bookkeeper. And so with us Christians. We Christians must stand before the judgment seat of Christ and receive the things done in the body. And what I'm trying to get to your heart is this. It calls for a daily trust of the Savior. You may have had great miracles in your life in the past. You may have experienced the power of God in the past. But that's past. What about today? What about today? Wouldn't you think Israel would have rejoiced? Well, the God who has led us out of Egypt will take care of us. No, they murmured. Now the call comes. Fear not. Stand still. and you'll see the salvation of God. Now notice the next statement. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will see them again no more forever. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to know that those things that were between us and God have been taken away. We've been taken out of slavery forever. No longer the bond slaves of sin, but set free. You remember Hebrews 10:12, we read, this man, talking about our Savior, this man by one sacrifice for sins forever sat down at the right hand of God. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more forever. And he said here to these Egyptians, to these Israelites, you'll never see these Egyptians again. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. That's the hardest thing to do. The Lord shall fight for you. You hold your peace. I tell you, it's hard to keep out of the battle, isn't it? It's just so hard to keep out of the battle. We set our jaws and our wills, and we say, we can take care of this very thing. Dear Lord, I'm glad you saved me. I'm glad you're my Savior, but I can take care of this little wee thing. Bingo, down we go, down the drain. The Lord shall fight for you and keep out of the battle. I'm reminded of that passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 with Jehoshaphat. When the servant of God came to Jehoshaphat and said, you don't need to fight in this battle. The battle is not yours, but God's. Who was he fighting? Fleshly relationships. The Edomites. Children of Moab and Ammon. The descendants of Lot and the descendants of Esau. Fleshly relations. You don't need to fight in this battle. The battle is not yours, but God's. Oh, I say it's very hard to keep out of the battle. Oh, the assurance God has given to us. You don't need to fight. Don't fear. Just stand still. God will lay bare his arm and deliver you. You see, in Egypt, the Lord was between Israel and judgment, between Israel and death. And in this, they had peace of conscience. Now at the Red Sea, we have the Lord between Israel and their circumstances. And this gives us peace of heart. You remember Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in him. You know, sometimes, like F.B. Meyer used to say, in the London fogs, where a thick fog in London, but there's a blue sky above. You take a plane ride, and you open the blue sky, and underneath here, clouds, see nothing. You can't even see the ground. People down there in the fog, in the clouds, with tests and trials. Where are you? Way up here, where there's no clouds, in the blue sky of heaven. And it's when we're down here, in the tests and trials of life, it's hard to keep your trust and your mind stayed on him. I say again, peace of conscience comes through the cross, but peace of heart is a daily situation in your walk with God. And I'm not saying you won't have any tests, you won't have any trials. In fact, I must say this, the more you give yourself to the Lord, the possibility is the more tests you have. You know, it's like a dear little old woman, she said, you know, I'm not tested like Mrs. So-and-so. She's always having tests. And I said, does she grumble? Oh, no, no, she has a perfect peace. She's the happiest woman around here. But boy, I don't have the test she has. You know, she said, I wonder why. And of course, I had to say something, and I shouldn't have said. I said, well, you know, maybe you haven't got that faith that can stand the test, because the Lord just test us beyond, never test us beyond that we're able to bear. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to know, to have that rest and that assurance that when you're in the test, God is always with you in the test, and he will just say, stop, no further. He's with you. He'll bring you through the test. See. I say, you go forward. And I say, it always pays to stand still when you're in doubt. Stand still and see the salvation of God. And when we learn to stand still, then we learn to go forward. The trouble with most of us is we rush ahead of the Lord. Do you know that? We're always rushing ahead of the Lord. Then we have to slip back, and we have troubles. Oh, but there's just so much time to do this. I know. And so we neglect the Word of God, and we neglect our walk with God. If you had the tests I have, well, friend, you don't have the tests I have either. God tests us different ways. But I'm telling you very frankly, God never leaves you in the test. He'll bring you through the test. And the only thing is for us to stand still and see God move. Hard to stand still and see God move. See? Now, that's not indifference. Let us be very clear about this. This is not indifference. This is really trusting. Stand still and see the salvation of God, which He will show you today. I say, not indifference, but trust. You trust the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and you trust the Lord to bring you through the Red Sea. You trust the Lord, leave the Egyptians with God. He'll take care of them. The important thing is for you to stand still and obey Him. Now, I'll leave that with you today. I want you to think about it, though. It may be you're going through some test or trial today, believer in Christ. Remember, He's there with you every second of the day. He just needs to say the word, and you can be delivered. He may want to bring you through it, that He might be glorified and your faith might be strengthened. Oh, what a Savior, to supply and meet our every need, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. Now may the Lord bless you today, and will you enjoy the Lord today? He wants your fellowship. Why don't you give it to Him? It'll be joy for you and honor for Him. And may the Lord bless you for His name's sake.